and friends. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mary Krause, and today is the first time that I've served as a worship leader here. So bear with me. Our esteemed brother Jason will not be able to be with us today. He and his precious wife Suzanne are taking a needed weekend off. So in their absence, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. Whether you're a longtime member or a first-time visitor, you truly matter to us, and we hope that you feel right at home. Now, I'd like to make a few announcements. First and foremost, Brother Jonathan Murphy is here today. And he'll be doing the sermon for us this morning. Now he can come up and help me. For those that can't see what's going on, we've got the cutest little boy right here. He's going to come up and help me in a second. But the second is that we are collecting bug spray for our homeless community. Bug spray is noted as being a very hard to get and much needed item for our homeless. So if you can, please bring some and put it right here. Second, we're going to be having another fun women's church event on Saturday, June 13th, and we'll be traveling to historic Bell Buckle, Tennessee. And then also, we're going to be having Lunch Bunch this Tuesday at 11:30 at Sylvan Park in Murfreesboro. And so if y'all are planning on coming, please respond by tomorrow so that they can make a head count. So it is with much joy and thanks that let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Please stand for our call to worship. Our worship today, call to worship, is from Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples.
The sound of his praise be heard.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love and blessing over our lives. Thank you that your favor has no end, but lasts for our entire lifetime. Forgive us for sometimes forgetting that you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways, that you know what concerns us, and you cover us as with a shield. We ask for your guidance so that we might walk fully in your blessing and goodness today. We ask that your face shine upon us, that you would open the right doors for our lives and for our loved ones, that you would close the wrong doors and protect us from those we need to walk away from. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. And today we just want to thank God for the gift of mothers and all those who show us love, care, and strength. So let us worship together with grateful hearts with number 359, I Am Thine, O Lord. Oh, sorry, 358. Thank you.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. Let me win with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know, cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Our scripture of assurance is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Now, with joyous gratitude and trust in God's guidance, let's sing a song of praise.
I've been informed that, I hope this hymn is somewhat familiar to some of you, but I have been informed that this one may be a little unfamiliar. The text is drawn from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 12, and this one has been kind of stirring within me since Bible study this past Tuesday, which, by the way, Unromaning Romans has been a delight. If you haven't had a chance to come hear Brother Jason expound on that, I highly recommend it. But this text just simply says, if I can have this ready, yes. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. There are things in this world that we don't fully understand. We don't fully comprehend. We see things through that glass darkly. Think of a window, right? A window that's hard to see through. Sometimes in the morning when we're getting ready, I think of going to school in the morning and my windshield gets all fogged up and I can't see in front of me. It's kind of like when you look into the future, you don't really know what the future holds. But through faith in Christ, we can have faith and assurance to know that whatever is on the other side of that will be fine because it's in his hands. So, face to face, let's sing this together. 549. I think I got that number right.
Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me, face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face with all his glory I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with a darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing in his presence, when our banished grief or pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain, face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. face to face, oh blissful moment. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by.
Thank you. That was lovely. Thank you, folks.
So it looks like Sandra and Marie will be doing the Jenkins kids today. And for the offering, there are several ways that you could provide an offering. One would be to, we've got a place right here where you can do it in person, or you can do it online, or you can send it by mail to Jenkins Church, and all of that information is online. Anyway, now I'm so excited to turn it over to Brother Jonathan Murphy. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm not used to being at a CP church who doesn't pass around the plate, but I kind of like it. I thought I had some more time. It's okay. Thank y'all very much for having me. I am excited to be here. Bear with me a moment while I pull up my notes. And while I'm doing that, I will tell you, we are in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, if you want to go ahead and turn there. All right, with that, let us pray. Lord God, thank you so much for bringing us together today. We pray that you would bless this reading of your word, that you would open our ears and open our hearts so that we may hear what you have for us today, and that we may take it, understand it, and apply it to our lives. And in your name we pray, amen. Again, in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their suffering. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has come now to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt who shall serve God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word. Whew. There's a lot there. So thank you for bearing with me on that. Let's zoom out a little bit, though, before we get into our text. I'm all about context, so let's zoom out to better get an understanding and appreciation of our text. What happened in the chapters before our text? That's what I'm going to look at real quick while this flies. Sorry. I get distracted easily. So in the first couple of chapters, we see that Israel is in a very poor situation, a very bad situation. They are enslaved, and the Pharaoh has even commanded that all Hebrew babies who are male to be murdered and then to be thrown into the Nile River. Also during this time, Moses is born. He's hid away for a few months. While the baby can be hidden from the Egyptian authorities. And then he is placed into the river. It just says the river in the text. I assume the Nile, but I could be wrong. I'll have to look into that some more. Or we could ask Brother Jason when he gets back. He might know. But anyway, he went into a river. A baby in a river. That's not a good situation. That's dangerous, right? He's miraculously saved and raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, if we look at the text when he is saved, we see that Moses' sister is standing a far way off, watching, like making sure he's okay. And then we see that sister sees him get taken up by the Pharaoh's daughter. And then she intercedes on Moses' behalf and gets Moses back to mother to be nursed until he is grown, is what it says. That would be about 12 or 13 at that time. So he is taken back to his mom. He is nursed and he is raised till he's about 12 or 13. And then he goes back to Pharaoh's daughter. And then he is finishing his raising and his growing up with Egypt's Pharaoh's daughter. So he is a Hebrew as much as he is an Egyptian by the time he's grown up. He's gotten both sides of the culture. Both customs. That's what I want us to hold on to with this context. So back to our text. Where is Moses now? He is in the wilderness. Why? He ran away. Because he come across a situation where he wanted to help. And he ended up killing somebody, murdering somebody, and trying to hide it, and he ran away. So he is in the wilderness now because of it. So he's keeping the flock, we read. I assume he's been doing this quite often. This seems like a pretty mundane task. He's keeping the flock, he's doing his thing, minding his business. And what does he see? What happens? The burning bush is what happens. Amongst his daily life, his daily routine, the burning bush happens. Now notice, Moses did not immediately run to the bush. What does he do first? Scripture tells us that he looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said that he must turn aside and see why the bush is not being burned up. So it's not that the bush was on fire that got his attention. It was the fact that it was not being consumed by the fire that caught Moses' attention. Now, there could be a few reasons for this. I'm not going to go into why. We have no idea, because I was not there. None of us were there when this happened. But the bush was not being burned up. That's the point that grabbed Moses' attention. So what happens then? When Moses is walking towards the bush, that's when God calls out of the bush. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, that's when God called. In other words, God did not begin talking to him until Moses was first seeking him out. So let's put ourselves in his shoes for a little bit, or his sandals, if you will. How would we react if we're shepherding some sheep in the wilderness, and all of a sudden we see a bush on fire, but not being consumed? My reaction would be not curious. I would be running away. Like, this is real strange. I don't want to see what's going on. I'm gone. Come on, let's go. That's my reaction. I'm sure I'm not the only one who would have that reaction. I hope not. But Moses, what does he do? He has kind of a freeze reaction where he freezes and he looks and he thinks and then he investigates. Now, what happens after he starts investigating? That's when God reveals himself, and Moses, being a Hebrew, knows who this is. So he's hiding his face because he's ashamed. Why? Remember our context. He is out here because he killed somebody and ran away from the law. So he is ashamed, knowing who he's talking to and what he has done. He is not worthy to be speaking, to be there, to be in the Lord's presence. So he's ashamed, yet God is still talking to him. Now, do you think this is a normal response? I think so. Any of us would have had a similar response in the same circumstances. Or most of us in our lives, we've had mistakes that we've made, things that we've done that we're not proud of. So shame is a normal reaction in the face of perfect love and perfection. In God's glory, shame is a normal response. Thankfully for us, Jesus has come and saved us from that. But at this time, that has not happened yet. So Moses is deeply ashamed, and he's wondering how this is going to go. He's probably having some guilt, some shame, regret, anxiety, depression, and fear, just like all of us would probably have if we were speaking to a bush that was on fire. So my point in that is we don't need to be hard on Moses right now. It's easy to be hard on Moses, someone we're reading about way in the past, but we don't need to be too hard on him because this is a normal reaction. And all of us would likely be doing something similar. All of us have experienced some sort of loss or pain or trauma. We've sinned. We've made mistakes. Moses, he certainly has too. Now, moving on in our text, though, in verses 6 through 15, I want us to notice a few things about the way God is talking to Moses and the way God goes about this conversation. God first begins the conversation by empathizing with his people, the Israelites, which empathy, if you're not familiar, is feeling for, understanding the feeling for, like you have felt it before, like with a broken arm. I can empathize someone with a broken arm because I've broken my arm before. That's an example. Because you know how that feels. That's empathy. So God is empathizing with his people, and then he shares his intentions and his plan to solve the problem. And that plan is to deliver his people. And he's sharing this with Moses. And he plans to use Moses to do this. Now imagine being Moses in this conversation. I'd have a few questions. What do you mean me? What do you mean I'm the one you're going to use? Why me? Why am I the one you're sending? The last time I tried to help somebody or tried to help your people, I killed somebody. I assume Moses is thinking something like this. I'd be thinking of my mistakes if I were him. The last time he tried to help did not go well. So why would he be in a position to help again? Why is God asking, commanding Moses to help? Moses has valid questions and valid concerns. After all, the Hebrews don't know him. He's been in the wilderness for who knows how long at this point. And what would he even say if he got to the Israelites? So all these concerns are valid. And all of us have had them as well in some form or fashion, not to the same extent. So how does God respond to this? God says in verse 12, I will be with you. I will be with you regardless of how you're feeling, of the mistakes you've had, the things that have happened. And he goes on and shares his name to Moses. And in this phrase, his name, God says, I am who I am. That's his name. Which can sound kind of confusing to us. So before we go on, I want to explain it just a little bit. Not a lot, because we could spend a whole sermon on this if we wanted to. But at that time, a name was meant to communicate someone's nature, like who they are as a person. So God is communicating, I am who I am. Or in other words, I am who I am regardless of all the things. I am eternal is one thing that he's meaning. It's I am who I am. In my research, I found the description of one's nature, like I just said. And it simply means what I read, and I would encourage you to do the same, is that his nature and character are impossible to define. So the definitions, the limits aren't there. So he's communicating that to Moses to help reassure him that he is limitless, and he has these limitless, all things are limitless to him, so he can do anything with his help, is what he's trying to tell Moses, what he's trying to communicate to Moses. So despite that, though, God's continuing to reassure him. Despite that, Moses is still filled with doubts and concern. Which, again, is easy to point the blame on Moses, but this is normal. Imagine if you are Moses and you're talking to God and he tells you, hey, I have a plan to save my people. And it involves you doing it. That's a lot. Jonathan, it's your job to save my people. You're going to go to the leader of this country and convince him to get rid of his slave force, his workforce. It's your job to do that. That's what God's telling Moses. So in that perspective, that's a big ask. Because what could happen to Moses once he goes to Egypt and says, hey, let God's people go? He could be killed. One, he has crimes that he has yet to pay for. He's a fugitive in Egypt. Second, going to the Pharaoh and demanding a request like that, that could easily, at that time especially, and even some places today, could get you killed or imprisoned or some tortured even. So that's a big ask, so don't be too hard on Moses. What would we say in that situation? I would have doubts and questions too. I don't blame Moses for having that. But, here's the key word, but. regardless of those things, God is with us. And this is the point of our scripture. God is with us even though we are called to do great, amazing, impossible things. God calls us to love the unlovable. He calls us to give grace to those who have hurt us. These are hard things. And if you read through 1 Corinthians 13, the definition of love is impossible for us to keep without God's help. These are impossible tasks that we are given, and God is here to help us accomplish them. And God is here to love us despite those things. So we must acknowledge the one that he's calling us, and we must seek out the calling and accept his calling. God hears the pain and sees the pain of his people, the Israelites and us. And he calls all of us to love despite the pain we're in, despite the trials we may be going through, despite the suffering, despite all the things that make us unqualified. God loves us anyway, and he qualifies us anyway and gives us strength to do those things. Give us the tools to help us succeed. And we're looking at Moses, back to our scripture. He provided Moses with Aaron, who served as a mouthpiece. So that was a tool that God gave him, a person to help him, just as we have people in our lives to help us love others and help us serve others. So God calls us despite our insecurities and despite our failures. Despite our shortcomings, he calls us to help those around us and to love those around us. Say, okay, thank you, Jonathan, but how can we take all of this and apply it to our lives? Scripture shows us a man unworthy of God's call, just as we are unworthy of God's call. So we too must be looking for God's call. Scripture does not tell us why Moses was chosen for this task, but I believe that God chose Moses for the same reason that he calls all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe in him are condemned already, because they do not believe in the name of the only Son of God. So it's all about that connection and that relationship with the Lord. John 15:4 explains it perfectly. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So without our connection to the Lord, without our relationship with the Lord, we can't accomplish these things we've been called to do. And these things, let me be basic, because we like to overthink God's calling. I know I do. God's calling is to love, in the most broad manner of speaking. It's to love God and to love others. That's what he calls us to do. So in whatever we're doing in our lives, whatever job we're working, wherever we find ourselves driving, our call is to love. Our call is to stop and say hello, or make eye contact, or give a glass of water or a bottle of water to somebody, to give a hug. Our call is not to hate or to question or debate. It's to love. And so if you're traveling, if you're at a restaurant and you ask yourself, is God calling me to do whatever, tip this person more money or give this person an extra friendly smile or tell them about my Lord Jesus? The answer is yes, regardless of where you are, because whatever it is, and wherever the circumstance, our God calls us to love. So we don't need to wonder, is God calling me to be loving to this person right now? Yes. Yes, he is. Is God calling me to do this thing that and give this person a hug and give this person a meal even though it costs money? Yes. Yes, he is. And that's not to say that we have to stop every single time, but the point is that God calls us to love where we are and in our lives all the time. So we must heed that and must listen to that. God calls all of us to do it, myself and all of you, to love. Now, a few things I want us to remember, because I know that mistakes and sin can creep in. Self-doubt can creep in. Having the doubt and the feelings are normal. But those feelings and those emotions, those mistakes, do not exclude us from God's call, because God's grace has covered it. So as we begin to close, I want to consider a few things. We all have different multi-layered callings, all surrounded by love. All of us are called to love others. And if we're unsure, we just don't need to stress. We need to love God and love others. That's the point. So let me read this scripture. I think this gives God's call a good... this really sums it up for me. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. God is in that silence. And he always will be. He is always present, always around us. And we, like Moses did, seeking out God's voice, we must also seek out that voice so that we can hear it. So we may listen to it. And a good start to that is reading and thinking of Scripture, because those are his words to us. So with that, my challenge for all of us and for myself, are we listening? We need to be thinking of these things. Are we listening? Are we seeking? Are we investigating? Are we loving? So as we go about our week, let us search for God's call in our daily lives. Let us listen. Amen. Now with that, let us do the Lord's Prayer. Is that correct? No, the prayers of the people. Is that right? I'm missing something. Someone knows what's happening. Thank you. Perfect.
Number 518, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more joy he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Okay. Any other prayer requests from the floor or the congregation? All right. With that, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word and his sermon today. May the Lord our God go with us now and forever. His grace, love, and mercy. Amen.